بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We are grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This 12th day of Ramadan, 1,432 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. As we all know, we are still reading Surah Al-Baqarah. Yesterday, 11th of Ramadan, we took the exegesis of the 228th verse. Am I correct? So insha'Allah ta'ala, today we will start with the 229th verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. In the 228th verse, we looked at the woman who has been divorced, or women, Muslim women who have been divorced by their husband. What is the waiting period that they have to observe, and what is it that they can do and they cannot do, some of them, not all. And then how does their husband relate with them, what is the power that he has over them during their waiting period. And then what are the rights they must enjoy, just like the rights that the husband also must enjoy. We looked at all of those. And then we also looked at the fact that the man is superior to the woman in terms of his position before her. Not in terms of their ibadah, because in terms of ibadah, the woman could even be more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the man if she is more pious. We have seen in the story of Asiya and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described her, the story of Maryam and so on. We have seen clearly that they have even been made examples to other Muslims in the world, that we have to try to emulate them to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have become leaders in terms of their piety. So when it comes to piety, anything you do to please Allah, men and women are the same. In fact, women could be better than men in the sight of Allah if they are more pious. But in terms of rank, position, who is under who gives the orders and so on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the man superior to the woman. We saw all of this yesterday. Insha'Allah ta'ala, today we will look at another verse which is continuing to discuss divorce, but then it's going to be a little different from what we all, an extra explanation on what we had yesterday. This is just going to be extra, not really different. It's the same divorce, but there are some explanations, insha'Allah ta'ala, concerning divorce that we shall look at today, which we did not delve into yesterday. May Allah assist us as we do this. So Allah says, At-talaqu marratan.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. من همزه و ونفسه ونفسه. الطلاق مرتان، فإمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان. ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا أن لا يقيما حدود الله، فإن خفتم أن لا يقيما حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به، تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها، ومن يتعد حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون.
نعم.
فإن طلقها فلا تحل له من بعد حتى تنكح زوجا غيره، فإن طلقها فلا جناح عليهما أن يتراجعا إن ظنا أن يقيما حدود الله، وتلك حدود الله يبينها لقوم يعلمون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الطلاق مرتان فإمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله، فإن خفتم ألا يقيما حدود الله فلا جناح عليهما فيما افتدت به، تلك حدود الله فلا تعتدوها، ومن يتعد حدود الله فأولئك هم الظالمون. فإن طلقها فلا تحل له من بعد حتى تنكح زوجا غيره، فإن طلقها فلا جناح عليهما أن يتراجعا إن ظنا أن يقيما حدود الله، وتلك حدود الله يبينها لقوم يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this ayah some things we have to know about talaq. How many times can it be? Allah says, Al-talaqu marratan. Divorce can only be two consecutive times. After which, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. You still have a right to take back your wife, to retain her, أو تسريح بإحسان, or you divorce her with good. ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله. It's not permissible for you to take out of what you gave them before you divorce them, when they were your wives, what you gave them, it's not permissible for you to take part of that, any part of that, unless they fear that they may not be able to obey Allah's orders. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا يُقِيمَ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. If you fear that they may not be able to stand by Allah's commands, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَا افْتَدَتْ بِهِ. In that case, there will be no harm on them if they pay to free themselves. Tilka hudud Allah. These are the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. Therefore, do not exceed. Do not transgress Allah's bounds or limits. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. Whoever does that, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. These are the transgressors. فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا. If he divorces her, فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ. That is, we mentioned two times that you are allowed to divorce and retain your wife. But if you have done the divorce the third time, so if somebody has divorced after the two consecutive times, he has divorced his wife for the third time, then فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ. Then she no longer is permissible for him مِنْ بَعْدُ. After that, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. Until she has married a husband other than he. فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. If the second husband now divorces her, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. There is no harm on both of them. أَنْ يَتَرَاجَعَا. That they come back and marry each other. إِنْ ظَنَّا. If they are sure. أَنْ يُقِيمَا حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. That they shall obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are also the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. يُبَيِّنُهَا لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. That he explains to those who know. So, first of all, the first ayah we took, the first thing it's talking about is telling us how divorce is done. It says it's only two consecutive times. So that this ayah is one ayah in the Quran that explains to us in clear terms that no Muslim has a right to pronounce more than one divorce at a time. No Muslim has the right to pronounce more than one divorce at a time. You can only pronounce one at a time. If she is in her waiting period, and then you both reconcile and you decide to retain your wife, then she comes back to being your wife when you have slept with her. If again you divorce her, that's the second time. But on one occasion, not more than one divorce is permissible. I am saying permissible here. I am not saying possible. I chose the word permissible, not possible. It's possible for one to say he divorces his wife 100 times. It's possible he can say it. Can't he? People have done it. But which one is permissible? Only one. So the other ones, he said, Allah did not permit. So he's sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, will those ones also be valid even when they are not permissible? Who can help us with an answer? Even when they are not permissible, will they be valid? Silence. Why is everybody so silent? Nobody knows. الإمام ابن كثير says هذه الآية الكريمة واقعة لما كان عليه الأمر في ابتداء الإسلام. This ayah, this noble verse of the Quran, is clearly stating something that used to happen when Islam was still new to the Arabs. That is, Islam as taught by Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It was still new to them. But Islam had always been there Because Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was a Muslim. And every other prophet after him, before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, they were all Muslims. So Islam wasn't new to the world, but Islam was new to the Arabs in that time, because they completely had no Islam. They were mushrikun. So they were new, Islam was new to them. So when Islam was still new to them, there was something that used to happen. مِنْ أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ كَانَ أَحَقَّ بِرَجْعَةِ امْرَأَتِهِ وَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا مِئَةَ مَرَّةِ, that a man had the right to declare that he was interested in his wife again before she could finish, exhaust her waiting period. He could decide that, okay, I want her back, so she comes back as his wife, even if he keeps doing this 100 times. Men have the right to do that to women then in Jahiliyyah. This is how people took undue advantage of women. I know of a couple in my town that were said to have divorced each other more than 10 times. The husband had pronounced divorce more than 10 times, and yet they are still with each other. So somebody said, but that is no longer marriage. So another person said, but they are not Muslims. So how can you say it's no longer marriage? Do you have any limit for them as non-Muslims? Huh? So the man kept quiet. Said, they are not Muslims, so they can divorce 100 times or 200 times. It doesn't matter. Because they are non-Muslims, they don't have the Sharia that we have. But for us, you can't do that. So, but then, that was what the Arabs also did to their women. So, وَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ مَا دَامَتْ فِي الْعِدَّةِ, as long as she had not exhausted her waiting period. فَلَمَّا كَانَ هَذَا فِيهِ ضَرَرٌ, of course, since there was oppression in this, and of course the women were being cheated in this situation, عَلَى الزَّوْجَاتِ, on the wives, قَصَّرَهُمُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثِ طَلَقَاتِ, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now limited the divorces to only three. وَأَبَاحَ الرَّجْعَةَ فِي الْمَرَّةِ وَاثْنَتَيْنِ, and he made it permissible for one to return his wife, bring back his wife after divorce, in the first and the second instances only. وَأَبَانَهَا بِالْقُلِّيَّةِ فِي الثَّالِثَةِ, and then he declared that the last chance that every husband had was the third one. If he pronounced the third divorce, then he no longer has a right on her. So the iddah that she is going to observe is going to be different from the two waiting periods she observed in the first and second divorces. Because in those cases, the husband had the right to declare that he wanted her back and they could reconcile. But the third time, there is no issue of reconciliation. She is no longer under him. So the things she could do to attract his attention in the first and second divorces, she can no longer do in the third case. Do we understand? Aha, she can no longer do those in the third case. So she can no longer allow him to see her in such a way that she will be attractive to him. So now he no longer can see her without her niqab and things like that, because he no longer has a right over her if he has pronounced the third one. فَقَالَ الطَّلَاقُ مَرَّتَانِ, this ayah. قَالَ أَبُو دَاوُدَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي سُنَنِهِ بَابُ نَسْخِ الْمُرَاجَعَةِ بَعْدَ الطَّلَقَاتِ الثَّلَاثِ, that Abu Dawud made a whole chapter in his book, and in that chapter he was discussing the fact that after the third divorce, there is no issue of one bringing back his wife. Now, but I want us to look at something, a question I asked. If a man divorced his wife the first time and said, He had divorced her 2 times. Allah said He has the right to divorce only once. Only one divorce at a time. Now, but the man said he divorced his wife 2 times. What happens to that divorce? What happens to that divorce? Huh? What? That is one. Huh? It should be counted as one. Yes? Any other opinion? Of course, there are differences between ulama. Some say it's counted as one. Some say there is no divorce at all. Some say it will be counted as two. So which one do you choose? Huh? Which one do you choose? Let me ask you a question. If somebody performs zuhur, 5 raka'at, knowingly, deliberately, he performed 5 raka'at instead of 4 for zuhur. What do you say about the salah? Huh? So you take the 4, it's valid. The 5th is not valid, but the 4 are valid, so he has zuhur. Huh? Huh? The salah is invalid. Why? He deliberately disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't do that which is called salah. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam explained to a sahabi that if you pray not the way he prays, then your prayer is not called prayer at all because you disobeyed him. Do we understand? So if you pray contrary to the Prophet's prayer, it's not even called prayer at all. It's not called prayer at all, unless it was a mistake that you made. If it's a mistake, you correct the mistake. If it's deliberate, it's no prayer at all. Because مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. It is only that person who has obeyed the Prophet that has obeyed Allah. Whoever obeys the Prophet has obeyed Allah. Whoever disobeys the Prophet has disobeyed Allah. So where will the reward come from? It's from Allah that reward comes from. And you have not obeyed Him. So what does He reward you for? For disobedience? That is that. If that is the case, can we apply that to divorce too? If somebody says 2 at a time instead of 1, when Allah said only 1, will we say there is no divorce at all? Huh? Why won't we say that? If we could say that for salah, why won't we say that for divorce? And why are you considering it as divorce? That's why I say we must all read hadith. Wallahi, we have no choice. We must all read hadith. If you don't know hadith, you don't know Islam at all. If one of you had just quoted a hadith, you would have ended this discussion instead of saying, I think. You are all thinking now. We cannot say that there is no divorce. We can't. Why? Because a hadith has told us a divorce must be considered. Once somebody has mentioned a divorce, there is a divorce. But how many shall we count? That's the one that's an issue. It's reported on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas. I think it's better that we read it from the hadith instead of just saying it. Huh? Al-Imam Muslim. All these are discussing this matter, but we can't read all of them. Can we? If we read this one, we spend 10 days reading this one, we won't read another. This one will complain because he cannot recite again. So, Al Imam Muslim, in the chapter in which he discussed talaq, this is a very popular hadith, said, he reported on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who was quoted by his student Tawus, who was quoted by his son, who was just popularly called Ibn Tawus, and Abihi that's Tawus. Tawus was a great student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. قال عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما said, كان الطلاق على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأبي بكر وسناء وسنتين من خلافة عمر طلاق الثلاث واحدة. فقال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنهما الناس قد استعجلوا في أمر قد كانت لهم فيه سبحان الله I no longer see so well هنا Okay, let me see if I can see it clear here. Well, so Umar, I can't see it. And I can't remember the word used there. So Umar bin Khattab, no, it's all right. Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, said that we may want... Okay, no, let's start from the beginning. Abdullah ibn Abbas said that the first thing that was done in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was that if a man divorced his wife, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and the first two, in some riwayat, the first 3 years of the leadership of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, that so radiallahu anhuma, Abu Bakr and Umar, that in their time, under their leadership, if a man divorced his wife 3 times in one word, they used to count the divorce as only one. So if a man says he divorces his wife 3 times, he gives her 3 divorces, they used to count it as only one. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and in the time of Abu Bakr, that is under the leadership of Abu Bakr, when the Prophet was alive, that's how it was counted. So that was the Prophet's order sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Under the leadership of Abu Bakr, up to his death, it used to also be considered only one. Then in the first 2 years of Umar, it also used to be considered as only one. Or in another riwayah, in the first 3 years, he used to be considered as only one. Then Umar now reflected on that and said, if people do not stop that, we will make it three. So if somebody says he divorces his wife 3 times, they will consider it 3 times. They will no longer consider it one. And then Umar actually did that, radiallahu anhu. So the fatwa of Tawus, the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, was that as far as he was concerned, if one divorced his wife 3 times, it was only considered as one. Because that was what the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That was what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq did. Umar also did it in the first 2 or 3 years of his leadership. Therefore, Tawus went to that. Abdullah ibn Abbas also went to that in one riwayah. In another riwayah, it was said that he considered it 3. Ali ibn Abi Talib also considered it 1 divorce only. And there were so many other Sahaba, Tabi'un, Tabi'ut Tabi'in and Atba' who also considered it only 1 divorce, not 3. This agrees completely with the ayah that the divorce that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits is one at a time. Only one at a time. At-talaqu marratan. Two consecutive times, not simultaneously. فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. After that, if you do a third one, you can bring back your wife. That's إِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. If you do a third one, then فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. Until she marries a husband other than he. So this was also the fatwa of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and his student, what's his name now, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. I actually wanted to bring his book in which he used about with the tahqiq. There were about 100 pages in which this matter was discussed. 100 pages in which this matter was discussed with the tahqiqat. That if you divorce, if one divorces his wife in one word and says it's three divorces, it's only considered as one. With the explanation that there were Sahaba who actually also held that view. So what some people say now is, even though there is this hadith, but Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu declared that it was three and that the Sahaba all agreed with him. This is the problem. This is a mistake. It's not true. It's only a claim. It's not confirmed. وَالدَّعَاوَى مَا لَمْ تُقَمْ عَلَيْهَا بَيِّنَاتٌ فَأَبْنَاؤُهَا أَدْعِيَاءُ. If claims are made by people that this issue, there was ijma on the issue, everybody agreed, it's only a claim. We consider it a claim. If there is no proof to that, then we will not accept it. It's only a claim that they have made. So anybody can make any claim. You can say there was ijma, there was a consensus of all the Sahaba on this issue. They unanimously agreed they did this. You can make that claim. But what is your proof? Everybody except the Prophet can be challenged in the matters of the deen. Some people will say, what? You want to disagree with Omar? I say, but I agreed with him on a lot of issues, not because he was Omar. I agreed with him because his words were in agreement with those of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, not because he was Omar. I agreed with him because of what the Prophet said about him. So he is great to me because the Prophet declared him great, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So if he disagrees with the Prophet, I go with the Prophet and I pray to Allah to forgive him. That's the best thing to do. If he is great, the Prophet is greater. Adi? Uh-huh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the one that I have to obey first. If I am obeying any of them, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai ar-rashidina min ba'di. So first of all, I command you to follow my sunnah, to adhere strictly to my sunnah, then to the sunnah of the four rightly guided khulafa after me. And all of them are the guided ones. So that is al-Mahdiyin. So first is the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas was the one that first said, kullu yu'khadhu minhu wa yurad. Each person, apart from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, any other person can have his word accepted or rejected. Abdullah ibn Abbas said that, radiallahu anhuma. And in an authentic hadith of his, he also warned some people whom he had given a fatwa, and the people had said, but Abu Bakr and Umar did not say exactly what you said. And he said, what? I am telling you that the Prophet said, and you are telling me Abu Bakr and Umar said? You don't have a right to tell me that. If I'm telling you the Prophet said, then you can't be telling me that Abu Bakr and Umar said, because they are not as great as the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And they are only considered to be right if they agree with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So this we must understand. If it's been said that the Prophet did this, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and in addition to that, Abu Bakr also did that, Umar in his first 2 or 3 years also did that, the fact that he later changed his mind will never bring an ijma, because Abu Bakr died without agreeing with that. Abu Bakr didn't even know about the fatwa of Umar. He died following that which the Prophet also did. So there can't be an ijma because Abu Bakr did not agree with it. And in the first 2 years of Umar, some Sahaba died. So those ones also did not agree with the fatwa of Umar after their death, because they died adhering to that which the Prophet and Abu Bakr did. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu an Abi Bakr and the rest of the Sahaba. So that there is no issue of ijma, there is no issue of consensus. Some of them disagreed. And in fact, this is Abdullah ibn Abbas reporting that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam died doing that, and Abu Bakr. So he also held that view that it should be considered as one divorce only. Do we understand this? And then Tawus, his students, also adhered to that. So amongst the Tabi'un, there were also people like Tawus. Amongst the Sahaba, there were people like Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. So, one has the right to pronounce only one divorce at a time. So if one pronounces in one word, two divorces or three, then only one is valid. However, people should not joke with that and just continue to pronounce divorces anyhow because they think they have this guarantee. If one does that, one is sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could count you amongst those who joke with him. You know what it means to joke with Allah? To take him for granted? You may be a kafir. If Allah counts you amongst those who take him for granted, then you are a kafir. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. So if one takes Allah for granted, if one mocks the deen or the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam should say to such people, is it Allah that you're mocking? Or is it his verses? Or is it his prophet? Or his messenger that you're taking for granted? There is no excuse that you will give again that Allah will accept. So from then, those people had been condemned. From the time that Allah said they were mocking him or taking advantage or taking him for granted, Allah said there was no longer any excuse for them. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ Allah had decreed that they were kuffar, that they were no longer Muslim, that they had committed apostasy on that ground. If you know that, and you know you have no right to do this thing, then don't ever try it. Al-Imam Al-Akhdari, while talking about Salah, was saying, no Muslim has a right to pray without ablution. If any Muslim prays without ablution, deliberately the man is a kafir, because he has taken Allah's ruling for granted. Nobody has a right to do that. So it's a very serious thing. I find people coming so many times, several times, to come and talk about that. You find somebody traveling from a town to your place because somebody told him that if he comes to you, he will get a good fatwa, that the fatwa he will get will favor him. So he will say, Wallah, I made a mistake. and he divorced his wife in one word, and he said it was three times. So he came to you to know what the ruling would be. You know, people are joking with the deen of Allah. I look at such people and within me I laugh at them. I can't refuse to tell you what Allah said. I can't refuse to tell you what Rasul said because I'm angry with you. But I will tell you all the same that this is the ruling. It's only one divorce. But if you did it deliberately, then you may be a kafir and Allah may never forgive you for that. So you don't take Allah's deen for granted. If you know you have no right to do this thing, then don't make any ruling a guarantee. Don't just take it and say, okay, I will do it. You know, I mean, I know that after some time I can expiate and it will be all over. No, it's not all over. People are not allowed to joke with the rulings of Islam. So it's only one divorce at a time. In one word, only one divorce. The long and short of it. There are so many things that some ulama have said. For instance, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala rahmatan wasi'a, says that there are ulama who say that actually if one divorces his wife in one word and says it's three divorces, that some ulama, in fact, majority of the ulama whom he has reported. Because if you look at people like Ibn al-Qayyim, they will also report to you that up to 100 people have the view that it's one divorce. But when somebody with an opinion is reporting his opinion, he will say the majority of the ulama have said this. Because to him, that's the majority. Maybe that's the majority he knows. To him, that's the majority because those are the people he knows to be in majority. But some other person may tell you, no, they are not in majority because he knows more people that have said the other thing than he. That's why it's very advisable that we read very wide, so that we'll be able to see a lot of things that so many ulama have seen, and then we'll compare. That's why if you're reading hadith, anything, any topic you're reading in Islam, don't limit yourself to only one hadith. It's very risky to do that. Or don't limit yourself to only one opinion from one school of thought. It's risky to do that. Because you may never know the truth all your life. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi says, احتجّ الجمهور بقوله تعالى وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك امرا. Said in Surah Al-Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about talaq. يا ايها النبي اذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن واحصوا العده. واتقوا الله ربكم لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن ولا يخرجن إلا أن يأتينا بفاحشة مبينة. وتلك حدود الله. ومن يتعد حدود الله فقد ظلم نفسه. لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about divorce. And then he said, ومن يتعد حدود الله. These are the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ Whoever transgresses the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ That person has transgressed against himself. لَا تَدْرِي You may never know لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may start a new feeling in your heart after you would have closed the door. So what is the new feeling that Allah may start in you that you may now begin to like her? You may now after some time now say, oh, but I like her, I wish I could bring her back. That is when you can no longer bring her back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them here is referring to a divorce that has been said in one word as three, because he's saying you have no right to bring her back after you may have concluded. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi says, قَالُوا مَعَنَاهُ. He said, these ulama said, the meaning of this ayah is that أَنَّ الْمُطَلِّقَ قَدْ يُحْدَثُ لَهُ نَدَمٌ, that the man who has divorced his wife, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could now make him regret that, and now he feels he will now wish he had not concluded the divorces so that he could bring her back. فَلَا يُمْكِنُهُ تَدَارُكُهُ لِوُقُوعِ الْبَيْتُوتَ فَلَوْ كَانَتِ الثَّلَاثَةُ لَا يَقَعُ لَا تَقَعُ. سبحان الله. Your man is getting blind. I no longer can see very well. Anyway, what Al-Imam al-Nawawi is saying here is that the man who has divorced, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he could make him regret. So what this means here is, he is regretting because he has no chance of bringing her back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about only one divorce. Therefore, it means that three divorces, the ones that finalize your chances, could take place in only one word. You see, this is all analogy. Where was it clearly stated like that? It wasn't clearly stated anywhere like that. Then they bring another case in which somebody طلق امرأته البتة. In one word, he said he had divorced his wife and he would never bring her back. He didn't say three. He just said he had finalized the divorce, he would not bring her back. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to him, Allah, ma aradta illa wahida. By Allah, did you mean only one divorce when you said that? So Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, Al-Imam al-Nawawi said that if it had not been possible for three divorces to occur in one word, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would not have asked him to swear. He would not have asked him in Allah's name. And he would not have been asking him if he meant one or more. Since he asked him if he meant only one, then it means that it's possible for it to be three. So they say, if a man says three divorces in one word, that is three divorces, they will consider it because of these two ahadith. But you see, these two are all inferences. Do we understand? They are all inferences. Mafhum. Do we understand? And if you have mantuq, if you have the one that, a word that is very clear, you can't be using one that is just an inference. It is said clearly by Abdullah ibn Abbas in an authentic report, of course by Muslim, that the Prophet considered it one until he died. He never changed that. So this is clear, isn't it? And clearer than the other one, because that is just an inference. So the long and short of this matter is, in one word, you can only pronounce one divorce. In fact, at a time. Until the woman goes into her waiting period. And then during her waiting period you decide to bring her back, then there is one divorce that's covered. Then you have a chance after then, if you decide again that she has offended you after sleeping with her after the first divorce, then she offends you again and you now want a divorce again, then you do the second time. That's the end. If you do the third one, she can't come back to you. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Insha'Allahu ta'ala. Tomorrow, we shall look at other issues that have to do with divorce. This is an ayah that may take some time. Because when we get into issues of fiqh like this, sometimes we're used to it, they take time. There was one verse that took us 11 days. Do you remember that? One verse took us 11 days. We have forgotten. I haven't forgotten. So it's possible, because it's important that we look at these issues and clear them, inshallah, once and for all. Once we have done that, we will no longer go into the details of this explanation again. So we take our time. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll look at another issue having to do with divorce tomorrow. Bi-iznillah. May Allah forgive the mistakes we've made. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. What if it is discovered that after the haid, the woman was pregnant? Will the child be legitimate? Which haid? After the hila, I think haid. The woman was pregnant. Which haid? I don't understand this question. I don't understand the question. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. What in case whereby she was divorced and she spent her idda in her parents' house, and the second month he came around and said he wanted her back, and she said no? Does she have to pay? Of course she has to, because she is still his wife. The fact that she is in her father's house, notwithstanding, she is still his wife. So he now comes and says, I want my wife back. She automatically gets back to him. If she refuses, then it becomes the case of khul. Unless a judge has declared that he has no right to bring her back. Is it compulsory, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam, is it compulsory for him to wait for 4 months? And what if he is willing to wait and he dies before the period? She is his wife. She is his wife. I think you are talking of Ila. If you are asking such a question, make it clear what you are asking about. Because you see, today we are not treating this issue. Sometimes you can write a question and it will not be answered until 3 days later. So if you just ask it as if it was something that was treated that day, I may not remember what you are asking about. So make it clear when you are writing on so-so-so issue, what is this? So that any day I'm answering, I will know what you are asking about. Like this one, I don't know what the person is talking about. And in the other one too, I didn't know exactly what issue the person was talking about. That's why I couldn't answer the question. So if you are talking about Ila here, he said he would not sleep with his wife. And then she was waiting for 4 months. Before then he died, of course she was his wife. If Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. If after the haid, a woman was discovered pregnant after the divorce had been pronounced, will such a child be considered legitimate? This is repeating the other question. Somebody is playing a fast one on me. Just quickly repeating the question and sending it again. I still don't understand. Is it allowed Islamically for two sisters to marry two brothers of another family? Why not? Yes, why not? Yes. Why not? It's permissible. Yes, yes, yes. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. My brother, may Allah increase you in knowledge and guide you aright. Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. I heard that when one gets married and later one of the parents or two of them say they don't like her, you must divorce her, even without reason, and even when she is religious. Well, those who are of that opinion are using the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, in which it was reported that Umar ibn Khattab asked him to divorce his wife. And then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to him, أَطِعْ أَبَاكَ وَطَلِّقْهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that you should obey your father and divorce her. So they say, if a father says to a child, divorce your wife, the child has to divorce the wife. But what some ulama are looking at is that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is somebody whose judgment the Prophet trusted. Ibrahim, who asked Ismail to divorce his wife. Ibrahim, I mean, there's no need to say that Ibrahim is a trusted person. Huh? That he can't just speak in vain. He must have a good reason. Huh? But your father too, you must consider a good person. You must respect as much as you can. But what is his reason? Maybe he tells you, he went to Babalao, and the Babalao says that I'm at Yoruba's again. That the Babalao said, if his child does not divorce that girl, that somebody will die in the house. Of course, somebody will die now. Would somebody not die in any house? Even the Babalao will die now. That's somebody dying in the house. Even the Babalao will die. Will he not die? The father will die. The son will also die. The wife will die. The children will die. Everybody will die except Allah. So that somebody will die in the house is obvious. Of course, somebody has to die. So what? So the father says, that's what the Babalao said. Do you also obey him in that case? You don't. You don't. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. If they ask you to disobey me, then don't obey them. If they ask you to associate partners with me, then don't obey them. Some ulama will say that this means the only time you can disobey them is if they ask you to engage in shirk. But if they ask you to offend Allah in something that's no shirk, that you have to obey them. This is not true. Irony. That is wrong. It's not only shirk. Associating partners with Allah here means obeying somebody and leaving Allah. That's associating partners with Allah. And you should never obey them there. So they are not to be obeyed. So it depends on why the parents are saying you should divorce them. Your parents are very religious people too. They are very knowledgeable. They know halal, they know haram. They have a good reason. And they say, divorce her, she's not a good person. Then you obey them in such a case. But then they have a foul reason. You know the reason is foul. They have told you and it's bad, it's not a good reason. They are not knowledgeable people. And they say, divorce her. You have to find out why. Maybe they asked her to commit shirk and she refused and they said, divorce her. You have to find out why. But if you trust them, they are good people, they are knowledgeable, they are pious, and they say, this girl is not a good person, then you obey them. Is it permissible for a woman to utter the word of divorce to the husband? In what way can a woman pursue divorce legitimately? The woman cannot divorce her husband because she didn't marry him. He married her. الرجال قوامون على النساء. But of course, like we explained, and inshallah we're coming to the issue, she can ask out of the marriage. That is khul. She can say she no longer wants the marriage. And it will be quashed. But she can't divorce. You know, because she is not marrying him. He is marrying her. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. May Allah reward you abundantly. Ameen. I want to know if it is permissible for me to help in whatever way I can. A Christian woman with two kids, whose husband carelessly left his family behind for a journey. He never seems to return. So? I don't understand what you want. Is it possible for me to help in whatever way? Help how? By marrying her or what? I don't know how you want to help. You want to give them food, you want to, you know, help them out with something they don't have. It's permissible. It's permissible. Whether Christian or Muslim, you can help the woman. You don't have to be in seclusion with her to help her, you know. You don't have to. She has children, get one of the children, give money or something, take it to your mother. You don't have to tell her who is sending the money. And things like that. You can assist. If that is what you mean. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. For a man to say he will not sleep with his wife, does it have to be verbal expression or even when it's kept in his mind? And for the woman, does she have to observe the iddah after the 4 months? No, what iddah again after 4 months? If he divorces her, then she observes the iddah. If he doesn't, then he takes her back. But that he keeps it to his mind, it's null and void. I mean, marriage cannot be between you alone and your mind. Can it? You say in your mind, you marry so-so sister, and you keep it in your mind that you are married. Is it possible? It's not possible. Therefore, anything that will happen in the marriage will have to be voiced out. So you just can't keep it to yourself. You have to say, she has to know. If she is in iddah, she has to know. A lot of people have done that, you know. After 3 months, they'll just come and tell the wife, you are divorced, you can go to your house. I divorced you 3 months ago. So today you have finished your iddah. You are joking. Eh? You know, my people will say, Uri Eyi. So this one says, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. What will one do if one finds out or hears a rumor that someone is sleeping with his fiancée? Well, if you say your fiancée, if you have gone to the father or you have sent people, and the father has said, go and see my daughter. You went to the daughter said, she likes you. The father was told, and the father said, I accept, I give her to you. So you bring so and so, and you have brought that. Completely, she's your wife now, no longer fiancé. Do you understand? But you have talked to the father says, yes, I accept, but so and so will follow later. You know? Still, nobody can go and ask for her hand in marriage again. It's not permissible. Once the father has said, I accept, she's your wife. Do you understand? Now, if that is what you mean by fiancé, if somebody sleeps with her, he has slept with your wife. If you hear that, you can't go to the person and say, why did he sleep with your wife? You know, you can't, if you do that and he takes you to court, you'll be flogged. You can't, such a thing cannot be ruled just using hearsay. It's a very serious issue. Every person's dignity is jealously guarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person. Nobody has the right to just accuse another person of an offense and that thing will just be taken like that. You know, we're not, Islam is not a lawless nation like Nigeria, where a soldier can just go into a house and say, you look like Boko Haram. And that is all is done. You know, Banana Republic. Very lawless nation. I mean, Islam is not like that. You just take laws into your hands, you just decide this person is guilty, you punish him, and that is all. Nothing happens. We aren't like that. Islam is never like that. Everybody's dignity is jealously guarded by Allah. So if somebody says this person has committed adultery, that person that said it will have to prove it beyond reasonable doubt. If not, he will be flogged and he will be considered, if it were in an Islamic setting, that person can never be made even counselor. Not even counselor. Most parents will never give him their daughter. So he may never marry. If he ever did any such thing, he accused somebody of zina and there was no proof, nobody will give him his daughter. Nobody. He will not be qualified to be trusted under any circumstance. So no university will offer him admission. Yes. If he ever, when you are in a wayward society, I don't know, you never know yourself. You're just like animals. If you are in a society with laws, then you will be a human being. There will be a difference between you and the billy goats and the pigs and all that. So it's a very serious thing. Anybody coming to you with that, in the first place, take him to be somebody who does not fear Allah. So don't work with it. Even if somebody comes and says, somebody slept with your wife. Unless the person is coming to say, he slept with your wife. Then you say, you are just pulling my legs, Abi. He said, no, I'm serious. He said, you are serious? You are serious? He said, yes, he's serious. Huh? You are serious? And you are telling me? Okay, wait for me and you come. You know, it's almost impossible for you to get that. You know that? So that unless the person is coming to say that, it's not easy to prove such a thing. Or unless you go to your house, enter your bedroom, and see the man in bed with your wife, you know, pestle and mortar. You understand pestle and mortar? No. You catch them like that. And then that's with pants down or red-handed. Then nobody else will tell you. You saw it yourself. What do you do then? You go out there and say, the man committed adultery. And they say, where's your proof? You say, I saw it. So who else saw it? But it says that in such circumstances, if the man kills the person he saw on his wife, that he will not be killed as somebody who committed murder, as long as it can be proven that that's what he saw. He'll be punished, but definitely not as a murderer. Why? In civil law, they will say that he was provoked. Huh? In civil law, that's Nyamayama law, they say he was provoked. So like that. So but it's very difficult to prove such things. So in the first place, if you hear that, ignore it. But then take measures to guard her chastity, to make sure that she doesn't get in, there is no possibility of such a thing happening. Once she's your fiancé, Islamically speaking, then she's your property or nobody else can ask for a hand in marriage. So you have to now take charge. So the parents have to know the implication of what they have said. That means if she says she's going out now, the father will say, tell your husband, though, because you have a husband, I've given you to somebody, tell him. That means the father knows the implication of what he has said. So you now take charge. Wallahu ta'ala alam. We've run out of time. May Allah forgive us. I know we make mistakes. May Allah forgive the mistakes we've made. If we say anything right, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it and reward us for it. May our fast be accepted. May it be blessed and may it be our pedestal to Al-Jannah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.